You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we're going to spend the next half hour with you here. Re-emphasizing the spiritual truth, the scriptural truth, that you are loved by God and that we have the privilege of loving God because he first loved us. So I would like to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape, they can be reached at 321-749-1432. I also have Space Coast Nursery at 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. It's north of the Barge Canal. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. There you can see firsthand what the quality of the products that they have available. And if you like to plant your own plants and get your hands in the dirt, you can. They've got a great array of products. And Treasure Landscape's got over two decades of experience in the landscape business. They're licensed and insured right here in Brevard County, Merritt Island. They have a comprehensive array of products from artificial turf, putting greens, landscaping services, paver installation, installing drains and downspouts, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They can do anything from design to plant to maintain. They want to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. And so last Thursday, so a week ago, we hosted a men's dinner at my place. Treasure Your Landscape's done a lot around my property through the years. They've done even more at the church. And great, great people. They love Jesus. They're really good at what they do. And between them and Jits Concrete, both of whom I've hired to do work around my house personally, so I'm not just telling you that they're good without any personal experience with it. These are people I've actually done business with, hired to do the job, and they did great, great work. So Treasure Your Landscape, they are a gift from God to Brevard County, and they may be a great resource for you if you are looking to restore some of your landscaping that may have been damaged from the cold weather this spring. So thank you, Dan, Treasure, and your team, 321-749-1432. Thank you for all you do. So today we're going to return to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 22. We'll go all the way down to verse number 31. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to me, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So let's stop the reading right there. We've only got three more verses, but we've covered plenty of material. It's going to keep us occupied for more than a couple of minutes here. So we have been talking about that lifestyle of love that is made possible because God first loved us, what it looks like, how it impacts our lives, and not just our spiritual lives, but every area of our life. And so Jesus puts it out there that says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. We talked about that means to guard, to watch over, to keep, to obey. In other words, if we love Jesus, we are going to treat the word of God as a highly prized gift from God to us. And it's not going to be a gift that we dread. It's going to be a gift that we embrace. It's a gift that will impact us. It also positions us to understand that God loves us. The truth is, the Bible declares that God is for us, not against us. But the scripture also indicates that there are times when God is in a position that is contrary to the direction that we are going. It's not that God has positioned himself as an enemy against us as much as mankind has positioned himself as an enemy against God. And in that case, because God is for us, not against us, he stands there and says, I've sent my son to die on the cross for you, and I'm standing here to prevent you from walking into this disastrous trap that the enemy has set before you. So if we love God, we will value his word. We will experience the love of God. We'll recognize that God is not a visitor, but he is the actual occupant and owner of our spiritual house. And you will see that in Jesus' next statement, verse number 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So if there is a problem with our love for God, it's going to be revealed in our inclination to the word of God and our obedience to the word of God. There's that keeping aspect. There's that watching over it. There's guarding it. There's protecting it. There's it's a reality that if you don't love God, it's not going to show up. It's not that God doesn't want it in your life. I mean, the word of God is a gift. We have the written word. Jesus is the living word. And because of what he's done, he makes it possible for us to live the word. So we make choices, and we need to choose to love God and use that as a foundation to where we're not just doing things because it's our duty. We're doing it because we are all on board with what God has to say and what he wants to do. In the latter part of verse number 24, this same attitude of love manifests in a different reality, and that is, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And what I would like to say is that if we love God and we love people, we are going to want to speak kingdom words, words of life, words of truth, words from heaven. We're going to want to speak those words. Believe me, there are plenty of other motivations that people have for speaking. Sometimes they speak out of their emotions. Sometimes they speak out of their intellect. Sometimes they speak from their perception. But when we're really wanting to let someone know how much God loves them and how much we love them, we will speak words from heaven. Words that are like fresh baked bread, right out of the oven, that you can not only taste it, but you can it impacts you every way. My dad had a hospital that he was working on. He was in the construction field, and right across the street from the hospital was a bakery. And we used to love to go visit my dad on his job site, not so much for his job site, but because of the bakery. You know what? We never went in and tasted the bread. We got our bread from the store. I suppose you could have gone in there and got, you know, got it directly, probably day old and stuff like that. But we loved to go because we got to smell it. And if you've ever, I mean, I don't even know how many people bake their own bread anymore, but if you've ever held a piece of freshly baked bread, it has a different feel. It has a different texture. It not only tastes good, it impacts everything around you. It makes it very enjoyable experience, something that people look forward to, not something that they run away from. I talked on an earlier broadcast about that when we speak, we need to speak words of life. We need to speak words of truth. We need to speak from a heart of love. And when we're listening to God, whenever we're, one of the things was that when we love God, Jesus made a way for us to pray that the Father might be glorified. And so whenever we are speaking, we're speaking words not to draw attention to ourselves, but instead we're speaking words to cause people to look to the Father, look to Jesus. And so I want to challenge you that we make sure that we spend time in prayer so that we share words that have divine truth, divine power, and divine love in them, because that makes a difference in people's lives. And verse number 25, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." And what he talks about there in the next few verses is that there was getting ready to be a transition. And what God does is he communicates with us in advance. He prepares us. I was listening to a commercial, recently, and they were talking about, you know, generators, and, you know, we're in hurricane season. Again, hurricane season lasts longer than non-hurricane season. But they were talking about, hey, if you don't have a generator, you want to get one in advance. If you wait until the storm's here, that's going to be too late. A lot of times people don't prepare for what is coming. You know, it's not that people plan to fail. Someone said they fail to plan. Well, Jesus knew that the events of the cross and the events of the resurrection and the ascension, that was going to bring about a great deal of transition. There was going to be uncertainty. There was going to be confusion. There was going to be disbelief. There was going to be doubt. Then there was going to be belief. Then there was a major transition that was coming. And Jesus said, "I'm speaking these things to you while being present with you." So thank God for the preparation. He prepared the disciples because he loved the disciples, and he wanted the disciples to know that when things were happening outside of their control, that God's plan had not fallen apart. It was coming to center stage. So, the next thing I want to share with you is, Jesus said, "I'm speaking these things while being present with you." My wife and I, this goes back several years ago. I don't know this couple. They just happened to be in the same restaurant. My wife had a day off. We were having breakfast together. I'd taken her to breakfast, and while we were sitting at the table, another couple came in. They sat in the same booth. They had the same server. They had the same menu at the same restaurant at the same time. And during the entire time that we were there, they weren't present with each other. And the what was going on was she was on her phone, he was on his phone, and they were missing one of the greatest blessings that they could have had. And I don't know what, I mean, there could have been a family emergency. Wouldn't think it was a family emergency if you were sitting there having breakfast, but the temptation in our modern society is to get so wrapped up in everything that is going on and our ease of access to information, and we can get so wrapped up with all of the stuff of life that we fail to be present for those that God has gifted us with, that we get to live a life of love with. When my kids were young, we tried to be at every event that we could be. And that was not always easy, because one year we had three kids in three different schools with three different calendars, plus pastoring a church with a church calendar. And but we made it to where we wanted to be there and let them know. So if we showed up to a baseball game, I was one of the really loud ones. I wanted my son to know I was there. And same way with other. Now, I'll tell you, roles flipped when it became grandchildren. And at that point in time, when my grandson was playing, it was my wife that was the one hooting and hollering. And she's not even a tremendous sports fan. I'm the sports guy. She's not, but when it comes to family, she's there. Hey, I want you to know that's my grandchild, and I'm here to support them. And we wanted them to know that we were there, not just because we had to be, but because we chose to be. I wonder what our society would look like if we set out to make sure that we were present, not just in attendance, but we were present with our attention when it comes to dealing with the other people that we have relationship with. So when I preach, I'm a little more active, a little more dynamic, a little more excitable than I am here on the radio. And one of the things that I do is I will say amen. And a lot of times people in church will respond amen. And what that means is I got it. I'm engaging with that. So I can be preaching a message and one person be being blessed by what they're hearing, the other person not receiving too much benefit. And many times it has nothing to do with my message but whether or not a person is actually present there and they're paying attention to what is going on. And believe me, I know I can get distracted. There's times I can get distracted from my own self. But we need to make sure that we sow seeds of being present for those we love if we want to reap a harvest of them being present when they're spending time with us. So, verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So, because he loves us, he teaches us. I remember a man saying years ago, and he was saying this in response to me, I'm a mercy person. I want God to show me a lot of mercy, so I show a lot of mercy to other people. And he said that sometimes the most merciful thing that you can do is move mercy out of the way so exhortation can come in. And I remember that just striking me, and it's like, you know what, that's true. I have friends of mine who are better golfers than I am. I don't get to go golfing as much as I would like to, but there's one friend in particular. He doesn't live in Florida anymore. I've got friends who are, you know, do the same thing on a different scale. But the very first time I went out and played golf with this friend of mine, he saw something and he said, here, let me help you. Let me teach you how to do that different. And so he is probably 11 or 12 years older than I was, and he was hitting the ball farther than I was, hitting the ball straighter than I was. He played a lot more golf than I do, but he knew things that I didn't know. And so he taught me, not because he was being mean, but because he loved me. And God wants to teach us, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to live, not just things in the Bible as words on a page, but actually how to live. So in the book of Exodus, when Moses is encountering God on the mountain, a lot of people want to focus on where he says, show me your glory. But before he says that, Moses asked God to teach him God's ways. And I believe that if we would position ourselves to be recipients of God's omniscience, he knows everything. If we would avail ourselves of his expertise, I think we would see a lot more glorious results in our life. He says he'll bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. Memories are tricky things. There are things that I remember, and there are things my siblings remember, and those two memories, or those three memories, don't always align. There are times that our memories as children don't align with the memories of our father. Mother's passed away. Her memory is really good at this point in time. And a lot of times people think that, well, what I need to do is I need to prove people that the way that I remember it is what's right. And I want to tell you that that's not the goal. The goal is not self-verification. The goal is an accurate alignment with our memory with the events. And I like to tell this story. There were two ladies, and one of the ladies came up and said, hey, I need to ask you to forgive me about this. I said some very mean things to you. And the lady said, well, I'm sorry, I don't remember that. And she said, oh, yeah, this is what you said, and this is what I said. And the lady said, I'm sorry, I don't remember that. And they kept going on back and forth until finally the lady who was, you know, being apologized to said, oh, I remember now. I distinctly remember forgetting that. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 just a moment. And let me see. I'll just start reading here at verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love conducts itself in a manner that is exemplary of God's love for us. So we don't keep a record of wrongs. We don't make it about us. And like Jesus says here, the Holy Spirit would come, and because there's this relationship of love, he would remind us of all of the things that Jesus said. I like to point out that most discipleship takes place in our home. The most effective discipleship takes place in homes. It takes place not so much with words that are being said, but truths that are being lived. And I hope that we as parents and grandparents, that we will be loving those nearest to us in such a way that we're constantly reminding people of the words of Jesus. There's a very dangerous trend in society right now where there is an attempt to demote the word of Jesus, undermine the word of Jesus, and elevate sociological things that are contrary to the word of God. And I want you to know that's not love. Love was what the Holy Spirit displays in reminding the disciples of everything that Jesus says. We have so much blessing. We have so many Bibles. Hard copy Bibles, digital Bibles, sermons, music galore, all of that sort of stuff. And yet, as a society, there's still a lot that we fail to remember. Let's cooperate with God the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, would you remind me of the truths of your word so that I live them, so that others can see them on display in my life? God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who